There's a new company, a relatively new company anyway, that's based here in Texas, which is getting ready to really go nationwide, already in good part of the nation, and maybe worldwide. And what they're doing is focusing on your pets. It's like Doc in a Box for Fido. At least that's what I think anyway. Dr. David Besser is the CEO and co-founder of VEG, the Veterinary Emergency Group, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Is that is that a mischaracterization? Doc in a Box for Fido?
I would say most certainly yes. I try to be gentle with you, but most certainly yes. Our doctors and nurses are very highly skilled, in particular, in which we'll talk about more. All we do is emergency, and we don't do any general practice. If your pet needs vaccines, spays, neuters, regular wellness checks, checkups, that kind of stuff, we don't do any of that. All we
really
do is
emergency. That was one of my first questions. I mean, because you're everywhere, you're open 24 hours a day, and people have to work during normal hours, so only emergency.
Only emergency. So if you imagine for people where the you know, the bad car accidents, the gunshot wounds, the poisonings, the trauma, where all that stuff goes, that comes to us. Now, we also handle emergencies, whatever our pet owners, we call them our customers, whatever they feel is an emergency and can't wait, we're there to help. And so it can be, you know, anything as like, you know, small cuts. We see very commonly vomiting and diarrhea. These things can be an emergency as well. And so people will come to us all hours of the day to have that checked out.
But that is remarkable. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know. Do you have competition? Does anybody else do that?
Depends on how you define competition. We work very, very closely with the general practices around us. The general practices, these are the people that provide your wellness care, your right. follow-up care when you have chronic diseases that you need checked out every once in a while. Let's say you have a diabetic cat and they need to have their blood sugar checked, monitored, their insulin adjusted. Most of the time you would go to your regular general practice veterinarian near you for vaccines, spays, neuters, annual blood work, all that kind of stuff you do with your general practices. We work very, very closely with them. Many times they will see you if something goes, you know, goes wrong during the middle of the day when they're open. Often they will very gladly see you, and we think that's great. Often when people come in and they have a regular vet, we will call their vet and say, hey, they're open. Why don't you just go over there? You don't really, you know, need us for this. But when they're closed, and or during the day and their vet can't fit them in because they are, you know, busy, full of appointments, they will come to us. So we partner with general practices, but some of the things we see the same.
So you're not normal. At least that's what in watching your video on the website, you make a real strong point of saying you are not normal, that the industry is kind of broken, and that you've taken a different approach. How so?
Definitely not normal. I think every business is a reflection of its founders. And my partner, David Gladstein, and I, neither of us ever consider ourselves normal. Always like to think outside the box. So if you just think about the company itself, we're really the only company in the world focused exclusively on veterinary emergency. There are companies that do kind of, they'll do specialty practice, general practice, and they'll also have an emergency service, but none of them are focused exclusively on emergency. And so that's one way. I've been an emergency vet my entire career, and I said, you know, this is something great. Customers really love us. This should be treated as its own business. We like to say emergency is our middle name, literally. It's all we do, so we do it better than everybody else. And that's definitely outside the box thinking, number one. And number two, the way we do emergency is totally wacky. We don't separate people from their pets. The norm in the veterinary world is you come in, if they have to do anything with your pet that involves, you know, drawing blood, putting in a catheter, getting x-rays, they're going to take your pet to the back, which is like some mystery place, you know, behind closed doors. They're going to take your pet away from you. And we don't do that. It makes sense in a general practice setting where there's a closer relationship between the pet owner and the care provider, the veterinarian. They trust them. They know them for years. Often they treat generations of pets. Yeah. But for us, there isn't that familiarity. The stakes are higher. These are emergency situations. So we don't separate people from their pets. And so you walk into one of our hospitals and You'll have this large open treatment area where all of the patients and all of their pet parents are there together. Everybody is watching everybody
And
else's
they're not
emergencies.
fighting each other or trying to bite each
No,
other.
there's none of that. It turns out it's really funny. We used to say there's a lot of distrust in the other places that provide emergency services. There's a lot of distrust between the care providers and the pet owners because of this lack of transparency.
Yeah.
And people say, like, you know, oh, customers are mean, they're angry, they're nasty. What we found is once you open everything up and you keep people together and you give them that transparency, people are actually pretty good, pretty nice, pretty understanding. Turns out their pets are also. People just, you know, their pets are comfortable with their families and they just sort of sit there together and they all watch everybody else's emergencies and all of the amazing care that our providers give.
You know, it looks like you're scaling this up pretty quickly. Now you're based in Austin. I know you got several locations there. Here in North Texas, you've already got several, but you're spread out across the country now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we're based in New York. Our first hospital opened, didn't open. I actually bought it. My wife and I bought a very small practice that had been around for like 25 years. It was started by all the local veterinarians who didn't want to see their emergencies at night. And we bought that, and that was back in 2014. I partnered with my partner David Gladstein in 2017. And started building more hospitals from there. So we had two hospitals in 2017, and then now we have 73. And it's
That's pretty
important to
quick.
note, probably, yeah. And about 30 of those have opened in the past year to year and a half. So we've kind of doubled our size in the past year and a half.
Is this all organic growth? Are you franchised, or how do you fund everything?
Yeah, this is all growth from opening up new stores. We don't buy places anymore. We found our culture is extremely important to our veggies, those are our employees, and to our customers, pet parents that come in. Our culture is different, not normal, outside the box, different from everywhere else. When we buy, if we were to buy a place, and we did that way in the beginning, it's very hard. The culture is kind of lives under the paint in the walls, and it's very hard to put in your own culture. So we build every place from scratch. We hire everybody from scratch, and that's how we grow. And we now fund our growth ourselves, and you know, just use the money that we make from our current hospitals to build our new hospitals.
It's true organic growth. So, as you go across the country, are there different regulations? I mean, there are, you know, in all sorts of industries, in different states regulate in different ways. Is it uniform in your business?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. There's national licensing for veterinarians and for veterinary nurses, and then local licenses that for veterinarians. There are local regulations about controlled substances. Because we handle really serious things, we have controlled substances for pain medication and anesthesia. There are local regulations about that define the scope of practice, what veterinarians and veterinary nurses can and can't do. So there are definitely, it goes state by state. That's probably the most local it gets. It's not by county or
Yeah,
anything. So
yeah.
there are state, it's different.
That's what I figured. But and you handle everything. I was looking on the website. I mean, it's not. I was thinking dogs and maybe a cat or two, but you've got snakes and turtles and birds and ferrets and hedge. I mean, are you? I mean, you're a doctor. Were you trained to handle all of these animals? Do you walk out of
In some
school ready to do a chinchilla and a golden retriever?
ways, to walk out of school, the answer to that is definitively no, and that's across the country. We see anything that'll walk through the door. Our mission is helping people and their pets when they need it most. And there are a lot of definitions of pets. There are people that have pet pigs and pet birds and pet fish, and these are animals, pets that are beloved in their families and they need help. And we're often the only ones there who are open to help them. And even amongst those that are open, we're usually the only ones that are willing to help them. A lot of veterinarians and veterinary nurses, because they haven't received any training in school in exotics specifically, we call these exotics, anything that's not a cat or a dog, but it's still a pet.
Yeah.
And because they haven't received any training, they're often reluctant. If you call 99% of emergency places, or places that see emergencies, and you say my turtle has, you know, his ears are all puffy and weird, they'll tell you I don't feel comfortable seeing turtles, and that's it. You got to go find somewhere else. But we will see your turtle.
I don't know where
which
you
probably has a vitamin
can't
deficiency, by the way.
imagine trying to find somebody to treat a turtle. I that's just that's fabulous. You know, but you're right. I mean, people care about their pets, and they're becoming more important. I in fact, my employer, I know the last couple of years has offered pet insurance, and we've got an 11-year-old golden. I really should have taken it when the last time they offered it. But do you take insurance?
We do, yeah. With the insurance, you come in, you let us know which insurance you have, and we're happy to help you submit your insurance claim to your insurance company.
So tell me about, let's go back to scale again. So are you going to be in all 50 states? You're going outside of the country? How big's big?
Yeah, again, I would say our mission helping people and their pets when they need it most. If there are people, they probably have pets. Those pets, unless they discovered something new, will probably get into shenanigans, and those people will probably want to have an enlightened emergency experience where they can see all the heroic work that their caregivers are doing and can get an amazing amazing attention and amazing customer experience with people that are there eager to help them and their pet.
So, by virtue of the fact that you don't do, the tail clipping and inoculations and neutering and that sort of thing, do you get referrals then? You're not a, I guess you're not seen as a competitor to, the regular individual sort of mom and pop vet shops.
Oh yeah, we're like we're general practice's best friends. So general practices are focused on providing a fantastic experience for their clients, their pet owners who want to make an appointment, come in and have that doctor's full attention for whatever time that is. It's not an emergency, so there's no reason why they need to come in on an emergency basis. And because of that, that's the general practice's bread and butter is treating appointment-based cases. And if you're going to be appointment-based, then you're going to have people who will call you or your valued customers for many years, and they're going to need help. And so that overflow, if you will, or really just not what these practices are focused on, they can send their cases to us. We will take care of the emergency and deliver them right back to the continued care of their general practitioner.
And I guess you don't need all that many locations in an area, do you? I mean, it's you're an emergency clinic. You're not regular care. You're not like a Starbucks where you need one on every corner, but you're going to draw from a fairly large area, I would guess.
It depends on the area. There's, if you're in New York City, just getting from one side of the city to the other side of the city can take you an hour.
Yeah.
And so we need a veg on each side of the city and uptown and downtown. In the Dallas area, for example, we have Dallas and Fort Worth and Camp Bowie and those areas, sometimes it can take you, we don't think it should take you more than, a half hour or so to get emergency care when you need it.
Are there a lot of veterinarians? I mean, is there, my sense is there might be a shortage of veterinarians in this country.
Yeah, interestingly enough, there's a lot of, I mean, there is a shortage of veterinarians overall. And the shortage impacts veterinary care in different ways in different parts of the country and in different sectors of the veterinary industry. Emergency veterinarians are very hard to find. And these are people who have advanced training and have an insane devotion and dedication to treating emergencies. They need to want to help so badly that they are willing to stay awake all night. 4 o'clock in the morning, if you have an emergency with your chinchilla, like you were saying, you need to have a qualified veterinarian that's there. They're hard to find. And the same goes for veterinary nurses, also incredibly difficult to find qualified and experienced veterinary nurses,
Well,
especially on emergency.
as you keep scaling, you're gonna need more of them. There's a great business model. I love it. Dr. David Bessler is founder and CEO of Veg Veterinary Emergency Group. It is easier to say Veg. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much,
We
David. Appreciate it.
appreciate it. For more of a conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.